Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the PW Torch Livecast. I am Wade Keller, back in the SmackDown host chair after attending SmackDown in person last week, thanks to Pat McNeil and Greg Parks for taking over the program last Tuesday night. We're here to talk about the greatest main event in SmackDown history. And if you don't believe me, Mauro Ranallo and JBL and David Otunga, and I don't know if anybody else said it was tough, maybe tough though. Randy Orton victorious with an RKO out of nowhere against AJ Styles. Many people saw this as a dream match. We'll talk about whether the 18 minutes of action in the ring lived up to dream match stature. Also on the show, Daniel Bryan announced that Alexa Bliss will defend her women's championship against all eligible women on the SmackDown roster, with Naomi out. They decided not to focus on a one-on-one or three-way or four-way match. Just throw them all in there, and they built tension built tension is probably an understatement. Mickie James giving a spin hook kick to the face of Alexa Bliss after Bliss won their tag match against an odd couple pairing of Natalya and Becky Lynch. Mickie was upset that Bliss seemed to be reneging on an understanding they had that Bliss would Bliss would give Mickie a shot at her title at WrestleMania, although I'm not quite sure where in the WWE narrative any wrestler should think they get to decide who they defend the title against. But that aside, Mickie James should know better. Mickie was upset that Bliss seemed to be reneging on that. There was tension already. Bliss then stole the pinfall to steal the glory in the main event and then got a little bossy with Mickie after the match. That led to an apparent breakup of that short-lived duo. So those are two of the big stories on the show. We got a long 12-minute explanation by Shane McMahon and Daniel Bryan that could have taken this long. Because Randy Orton won the Royal Rumble, but gave up his match as long as he was with Bray Wyatt. But last week, broke up with Bray Wyatt. He now wants his WrestleMania title match back. And Daniel Bryan agrees. But Shane McMahon thinks since AJ Styles won his match last week against Luke Harper, he should get his title shot that he earned. It'd be unfair to take it away. Shane said that Styles earned that shot. And as a result, Randy Orton and AJ Styles are fighting each other. Anybody could have said that. And what was that? I mean, I kind of stumbled over it. It probably would have smoothly taken 25 seconds. They managed to stretch that into 12 minutes. 12 minutes. Well, it was about 11 minutes because there was a 1-minute video package or maybe a 2-minute video package at the beginning. But that was a long journey. I mean, more reasonably, they could have done that in 90 seconds. But really, I bet they could have hit all the major points in 20, 25 seconds. So wasn't crazy about that. We had John Cena and Nikki Bella easily defeating James Ellsworth and Carmella with stereo five-knuckle shuffles and stereo attitude adjustments. It was weird seeing John Cena sexualized or out there with Nikki and kissing her and I don't know. And then afterwards, Miz said that AJ Styles, it was weird, he made Nikki sign a contract in order to be her girlfriend, in order to be her boyfriend, I should say. Or there's a real story there that Miz was breaking. So, yeah, I mean, with another kind of shoot-style promo with Miz, he said Cena is emotionless and does everything he does for the success of the brand. He is Robo-Cena. But he said he won the lottery because he found someone to be his girlfriend who is as attention-driven and power-hungry as he is. But I understand that Nikki and John's plastic-fabricated lives spits on every real relationship, and it stops now. Maurice then took the mic from Miz and dropped it on Nikki's head. They had just beat them up at ringside, so they had to listen while writhing in pain. And then Baron Corbin beat up Dean Ambrose with a metal stick or rod backstage. Mojo Rawley breaking big news. He's going to enter himself in the under the Giant Royal Rumble. Dolph Ziggler apparently is headed there too, because he came out and irritated Mojo and got in his face. And that's about it, I think. Oh, Austin Aries introduced himself to the SmackDown audience and said on 205 Live tonight he's going to say what's in his game plan. So that's a summary of tonight's episode of SmackDown. It was a very big week for Raw. Undertaker showing up unexpected. Goldberg and Brock Lesnar facing off. Charlotte Bailey and Stephanie and Sasha Banks, the boss, all getting into it. I mean, it was a big episode of Raw. A lot of star power, a lot of big names, a lot of special attractions. This felt more like the B show this week relative to Raw. Some people on Twitter disagreeing with me on that one because they think B show means better show. But B doesn't stand for better. It just means not Vince McMahon's priority. And when you look at this WrestleMania lineup, it does feel, especially with Undertaker going over to Raw, it's just very Raw, het Raw-centric in terms of where the money matches are. I am not convinced at all that the fans are going to care about Randy Orton against Bray Wyatt. I mean, even here in this main event, Randy hit the RKO out of nowhere. Crowds always pop for the RKO. But when he scored the three count, it seemed like the crowd was more deflated. The AJ Styles chants during his promo were more intense than the cheer for Randy Orton, at least as it came across to me through my speakers on television. So I want to talk about the show with you. This is a SmackDown post show. I do want to note that tomorrow, Sam Roberts from the Sam Roberts Show, the Sam Roberts podcast and Sirius Satellite Radio and his weekly wrestling show, he'll be on with me on the midweek flagship, and we'll talk about the big picture of everything going on in the professional wrestling industry that you want to talk about. So you can begin emailing questions about Raw, SmackDown, Fastlane, WrestleMania 33, the upheaval and changes in TNA, the Hardy showing up at Ring of Honor this weekend in Manhattan, and Bubba Ray Dudley, now Bully Ray again, showing up also in Ring of Honor, and on and on. A lot going on in wrestling headed into the final stretch here, 4 weeks headed into WrestleMania. So that's tomorrow, 1 Eastern. I'll be with Sam Roberts. He'll be the special co-host. And then Thursday, as I announced last night on the Raw post show here at PWTorchLivecast.com, Jim Ross will be my guest, and we'll delve into WrestleMania season and his thoughts on all of those topics that I just brought up. So it's going to be a great week. It already has been. We had a really good show yesterday with a lot of good callers discussing the very newsworthy episode of Monday Night Raw, about an hour and a half of that available to you for free at pwtorchlivecast.com, or subscribe on any popular podcast feed, including Stitcher. I think we are the number one pro wrestling show on Stitcher, which is pretty cool. And I just checked the email. Looks like we already have some questions coming in from for Jim Ross. So keep those coming in. Our email address is pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com. pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com. Actually, I have a lot of good questions already coming in for the next 2 days, 1 Eastern, both days, Wednesday and Thursday. So join us live if you can. And then Thursday night, right after Impact, Mike McMahon and Andrew Socek will have a review of the first of the true new era episodes of Impact. It'll be on this show that they announce the TNA name is gone. They are now just Impact Wrestling. Anthem presents Impact Wrestling. And a lot of new things at the last set of TV tapings. They will be discussing them. That show stays largely spoiler-free. It was very hard to tell callers that and stay away from things. There's a few newsworthy items that are just uncontainable after a TV taping like Impact had, but they'll do their best to focus on just the first episode, the first 2 hours on Thursday night, right after Impact. They go live just like this show does on Tuesday nights on the Raw Post Show. They go live right after Impact on Thursday nights. I think the ratings will be up. I think there will be some sort of bump for the new era beginning, and they'll have a lot to talk about. So continue to call and listen live. That show is gaining momentum, new callers, growing listenership. They're doing a great job with that post-Impact show. Mike McMahon and Andrew, so check them out Thursday night. And then Friday, Bruce Mitchell will be back with Rich Fan. I guest hosted for Bruce last Friday with Rich Fan. You can check that out if you missed it. Last Thursday also, a really good podcast, live cast episode, Interview Thursday with Diamond Dallas Page. Some new information from him about his Hall of Fame, announced how he found out that he was going to be in the Hall of Fame this year, and some WCW stories. We talked some DDP yoga and nutrition at the very end, but a good show. DDP always brings it, and this was one of his better hours that he spent with us in terms of just interesting tidbits and anecdotes about current stuff and past stuff. So check that out if you missed it. All right. Well, let's with all that business out of the way, let's go to our first caller of the program. And our phone number I should give out in case you're listening and don't have it handy, 515-605-9345. That's 515-605-9345. Let's begin with area code 419 tonight. 419, you're on the program. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
Denny Crum calling from Toledo, Ohio. How you doing today, Night Wade?
I'm doing great. Thanks for calling. What have you got for today?
I to elaborate on your point, when the you said the crowd kind of felt deflated after the 1-2-3 hit in the main event. If you if you noticed in the first promo when Daniel Bryan and Shane McMahon were doing, should we give the title shot to Randy Orton or should we give it to AJ Styles? Well, AJ Styles got a way bigger pop for that, in my opinion, anyways.
Yeah, I agree.
And one of the things I noticed, and you talk about a lot, one of those fix your tie things. That it's not a huge deal, but it's one of the things that bugs, people like historians of the business. And this is kind of fresh in my mind because the last time I told you I'd been reading the old newsletters, and I'm about around the time for the WrestleMania 15 build. And Shane McMahon said that this has never happened before, where the Royal Rumble winner gave up his title shot. And it literally happened in 1999 with Vince McMahon. He gave up his title shot. And I'm not sure if they didn't want to, give attention to that because, according to the, quote, rule book, the runner-up for the Royal Rumble gets it if the winner can't get it. That was in 1999 when they did the whole Vince Austin thing. Little things like that bug me. And
I will say Shane said the tradition is the winner of the Royal Rumble goes to the main event. I can't remember the exact wording, but I know it jumped out to me. He said it is a tradition. I don't know if he said without exception, but
I thought it sounded pretty definitive, but I could be wrong too. I could just be misremembering, but
I think he wanted to give the impression in making his case that it was almost unprecedented. I guess from a pure stickler standpoint, it struck me as maybe he gave himself some wiggle room. But like you said, it's not that big of a deal for the point that he was trying to make. And hey, Shane doesn't even watch Raw, so maybe back then he wasn't watching Raw and didn't know that happened.
Right. The last thing I wanted to say was I'm not a fan of what they're doing with the women's match. I feel like if they wanted to get all the women on the show, they could have done a pre-show battle royal and the winner gets to face Alexa Bliss. Cause I think they're trying to go for the surprise factor, like Naomi's going to show up or something, or maybe hedging their bet to see if Naomi's going to get cleared or not. I don't like the defending the title against everyone angle that they're going at right now. I feel like there's better ways they could have done it than get the other women who aren't going to be. I mean, we're already doing a triple threat, maybe a fatal four-way on Raw. I feel like there should be a one-on-one women's match on the main card.
Yeah, I'm more forgiving of this, even though I'm generally, if you listen to me a lot, you know that. I like one-on-one matches way more than three-way and more than four-way, although I think four-ways are better than three-ways. But I'm a little forgiving because they weren't building to that one epic one-on-one match. And I think there is some parity on the SmackDown side as far as the women go. And with Naomi getting hurt, it did throw plans off. So, I mean, normally I'm, first in line to say, come on, just build up a one-on-one match. I think that WrestleMania is going to be a long show. I don't think everyone should get a WrestleMania participation ribbon. This does feel like a year where post-roster split, I think the SmackDown women have stepped up and earned the idea that they've been able to compete with Sasha, Bayley, and Charlotte, who had such a reputation coming in, and that Alexa Bliss has risen. Naomi has done some nice work, some criticism of her work in the ring. I get that, but just I think they've made her seem like she belongs in that mix within the narrative. And I mean, Becky's Becky, and on, and Mickey James being added, which obviously adds some veteran prestige. I kind of like the idea that they are all going to kind of have a moment at WrestleMania, and not just end up one-on-one match and everybody else just off the show. So, like I said, I'm kind of going against the grain. Normally, I don't think everyone deserves a participation ribbon and everybody needs to be on the show. I kind of feel okay with this decision this year. I don't want to see it become a tradition. I want this to absolutely be the exception. Barring injury, I want next year for there to be a one-on-one match that they spend 6 months or 4 months building up.
Yeah, I can see that. I understand. And also, one last thing, I'll be at Raw in Detroit Monday, so I'll be looking out for my call. I know you like to get a live perspective, so I'll be able to get it on Monday.
Cool. Thanks, Danny. Appreciate your VIP membership, too.
Thank you.
Absolutely. All right, that is Denny from Toledo, Ohio, a VIP member kicking off the show today. We're going to go to our first break. When we come back, more of your calls. Stay tuned.
If you're like me, you've got a list of your favorite podcasts that you listen to throughout the week and also your favorite websites that you listen to throughout the week, but they don't always overlap. But in the case of PW Torch, they do. We hope not only will you listen to the PW Torch livecast every day, but also visit pwtorch.com every day for the latest insider perspective, breaking news, TV reports, live event reports, live pay-per-view coverage, exclusive editorials, and a wide range of other features. Check it out every day. It's mobile-friendly, desktop and laptop-friendly. Stay up to the minute, stay up to date with pwtorch.com.
All right, we are back live. I'm back live. This is the PW Torch Livecast. You can find our shows on demand, including last Thursday's Diamond Dallas Page interview or previous week's Interview Thursday with Matt McCarthy. All kinds of great shows that you can catch up on if you miss any of them over at pwtorchlivecast.com. And it's mobile friendly, so you can pull them up on your phone. Oh, actually, it was Disco Inferno 2 weeks ago, Matt McCarthy the week before that. Disco was good, too. If you missed that, check that interview out. We also have a special anniversary of the Pro Wrestling Spotlight radio shows that we put up for VIP members. A 25 years ago show, on February 9th, 2017, we put up as a special Interview Thursday an episode from February 9th, 1992, John Arezzi's Pro Wrestling Spotlight radio show featuring Jim Cornette, Dave Meltzer, Vince Russo, conversation about the Hogan Sid, some sound editing of the crowd, kind of like they do with Roman Reigns when the crowd boos him, and suddenly shows up on YouTube and Hulu and the network with edits, and Flair Savage talk and more. Fascinating look back at a show like this, talking about wrestling with this perspective, this approach, 25 years ago. So that's something absolutely to seek out. It might be run off the RSS feed now on your phone or iTunes. So that's something you'd have to go to pwtorchlivecast.com in order to access. Just choose from our menu the interviews, and you can scroll through and also listen to Drew Galloway. Steve Austin was with me on January 26th, just over a month ago, about 6 weeks ago. We also had Kevin Eck, ex-WWE creative team member on the show. Leading into the Royal Rumble, he is always one of the top, most insightful guests on the show. Recent WWE VIP member, great guest on the show, now blogs and works as a heel manager for MCW. Also, Matt Morgan and Mark Madden, other guests in the last couple months. So a lot we're checking out over at pwtorchlivecast.com. But we're here tonight talking SmackDown. Decent amount happened on tonight's show. Wasn't quite at the level of Raw newsworthiness in terms of the big names and Undertaker coming back, but it was a big show. Let's get in at what could be an in-person perspective here from Indianapolis. Jack from Indianapolis, did you attend SmackDown tonight?
Hey, Wade, can you hear me?
Yeah, I sure can.
Yep, this is Jack from Indianapolis. Can you hear me, Wade?
I sure can. Tell me about the show tonight. Are you still there watching 205 Live?
Yeah, I'm here watching 205 Live right now. It was a rather lackluster show, it felt like, compared to, you know, Raw making a lot of developments for WrestleMania. It seemed like SmackDown's developments were kind of minimal, and I don't know. It don't seem like this particular show delivered. The building was full, though.
Well, that's good. We've been talking on the show about Randy Orton and AJ Styles and their relative popularity. How did the crowd react to AJ compared to Randy?
It seemed like it was big reactions for both of them. It seemed like Randy Orton did his usual paint-by-numbers match until the end. But the crowd popped for all of his spots. Like, you know, the tease for the Hangman DDT. And, you know, they popped for everything Randy Orton did. You know, I guess I would liken it to a singer playing all of his greatest hits at a concert, but Yeah, they popped for both of them.
And in the end, when Orton won with the RKO, did the crowd seem happy that Randy was moving on, or a little deflated that it was a clean finish and that seemed to eliminate AJ from main eventing Mania?
No, I think just because it was such an impressive RKO, it wasn't a regular one. I think everybody popped big for it. But I was kind of expecting more development, maybe something from Bray Wyatt. So I was a little shocked by that. But yeah, the crowd popped pretty big for the RKO.
Then anything happened afterwards in terms of, I mean, they go right to 205 Live. I was there last week. I know as soon as SmackDown went off the air, the ring announcer quickly announced the dark match to try to keep people from leaving. Did they do that tonight right after SmackDown ended?
Yep. That's exactly what they did. And I think it's going to be a Randy Orton and John Cena versus The Miz and AJ Styles, I believe is what they said. But yeah, they announced it right after it went off to keep everybody from leaving. Although it seems like a sizable amount of people still left anyway.
Yeah, that's going to happen. Were there any dark matches beforehand?
Surprisingly, before the show, American Alpha, who didn't even have a presence on the show at all, was in a 8-man tag match, which in the crowd popped big for American Alpha when they came out, but just surprisingly, they weren't on the show, and there was no development for what's even happening with the tag team titles, which I thought was rather strange.
Who were in the match, if you remember? Who won?
It was the American Alpha and Heath Slater and Rhino. They beat the Ascension and Breezango.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a decent match, but it would have been nice to see some development for what's going to happen at WrestleMania. But it don't seem like we got a lot of that tonight. And also, the segment with The Miz and John Cena, it was really strange watching John Cena and Nikki lay on the ground, like after both of them got hit with one move, and they both just kind of laid there for the whole promo. And they crawled to each other, and they were talking, you know, just laying on the ground. It was real strange seeing that in person.
They didn't start making out.
They found a better way.
They didn't keep making out, did they?
No. But they might as well have.
Did the Shane and Daniel Bryan segment at the beginning, where for 10-plus minutes they explained why AJ and Orton were fighting each other, even though I think everybody already knew, did that seem to test the patience of the fans? I think I would have rather had them talk for 3 minutes and then have American Alpha wrestle.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you, Wade.
Did you think the Shane segment with Daniel Bryan at the top went too long?
It seemed like it was too long. And it seemed like it didn't really go anywhere. They only told us what we already knew that we were getting that match tonight. So, because of that, it seemed like it went too long.
Any other thoughts or observations from tonight's show from being there in person?
No, I think that's it, Wade. I appreciate you taking my call.
Jack, always great to hear from people in buildings. Thanks for calling.
Hello, Wade.
That's Jack in Indianapolis. Yeah, I said that the Shane McMahon, Daniel Bryan segment in my SmackDown report on pwtorch.com. Be sure to check that out, by the way. I do live coverage of Raw and SmackDown every night, every Monday night, every Tuesday night on pwtorch.com. And so not only do I run down the show in detail, I try to have as detailed a report as you'll find anywhere without being excessive in terms of nailing mentioning every single move. But in terms of the key lines, what the announcers are saying, turning points in the match, the pace of the show, big points being made, backstage segments, I cover it all in real detail. Plus, I add a lot of analysis. And that is available at pwtorch.com live every Monday night, every Tuesday night on Raw and SmackDown. Same thing, by the way, for my reports on Sunday pay-per-view. So if you enjoy the live cast and want to hear what I'm saying about the shows, or want to read what I'm saying about the shows, be sure to check out pwtorch.com. That is our main centerpiece website full of news with a lot of writers contributing a lot of different features. In fact, every Monday afternoon and every Tuesday afternoon, we have Joey Galicia's primers for Raw and SmackDown. A bit of a sometimes snarky and entertaining approach to setting things up, talking about what happened last week, and what to expect this week on both Raw and SmackDown. We also have, speaking of snark, the Rainzometer every every Tuesday afternoon. We put up the Ranzo meter with the theme of that column being was Roman Reigns able to beat the odds and come out on top? The ninth Roman Reigns meter was published earlier today. You can read what Roman Reigns did to overcome the odds and come out on top. Plus, we have the rising star and fading star of Fastlane, who looks like they're on their way up and who on their way down based on the way that show was booked. And we also have interview highlights of AJ Styles on Lillian Garcia's podcast, where she takes a different approach to interviews and talks about wrestlers' journeys to WWE. I think that's a cool idea to create a niche for her podcast, and AJ talked about his journey, and they Lillian and her show were kind enough to send us some highlights of that interview from last that they posted yesterday, and we put that up on the site. Also, we got the results of Monday Night Raw ratings, and I don't just tell you the number of the viewership. We also chart everything out. We tell you that the 10-week average, the seasonal average, we compare it to the rating a year ago. We also chart out the drop between hour one and hour three in viewership. There's almost always a drop, really always is. And we kind of chart that out and use that as one of the pillars of whether it was a show that succeeded at holding the audience. And did they hype properly or feature segments that people wanted to stay tuned for? So you can see how yesterday's did with the Roman Reigns, Braun Strowman confrontation, Samoa Joe against Chris Jericho, that women's segment. How did that do in the third hour in terms of holding the audience compared to the first hour? So we include that also in the stats. Also got the Raw Talk report detailing. Craig Elby sending in his report on what Roman Reigns had to say, Sasha Banks and Bayley, and Paul Heyman reacting to last night's Raw. So a lot of great content over at pwtorch.com. Be sure to check it out every day. It's something you should probably create a home screen button for or bookmark on your phone and your computer. All right. And by the way, VIP members, check out pwtorchvip.com, which is an ad-free version of pwtorch.com for our subscribers. Bruce Mitchell's new column is up. How to score this year's WrestleMania. You're going to want to read this one. check it out. Classic Bruce column, although I have no idea why I included a picture of SmackDown in the when I put his column up earlier. So I'm going to fix that. In fact, I'm doing it right now. I'm attaching the WrestleMania logo to that article instead of the SmackDown logo. So I'm double. Multitasking. That's what I'm looking for. What's wrong with me? All right. Now it's got an appropriate WrestleMania sign. All right. Let's go ahead and go to our bottom of the hour break since I rambled here. And then we'll come back and we'll do a solid block of 15 minutes of calls before our next break. So here we go. Here's some news or here's some word on our sister site, MMATorch.com. Today we put up an article on Brock Lesnar and what is the highlight of Brock Lesnar's career. And the MMA Torch team of contributors gave their opinions on this. What was the single key highlight? There seems to be three, maybe four moments, mostly three moments that our contributors cited over at MMATorch.com. We also have a 5 years ago flashback with Bjorn Rebney's interview with MMATorch.com talking about their pending move to Spike TV and the move of their show to Friday nights. Interesting to see where Bellator was 5 years ago today compared to where they are now with another show coming up this weekend. We also have Frank Hyden's take, a longtime columnist for MMA Torch, a charter columnist, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly from UFC 209. And boy, there was some good and some bad and definitely some ugly on that show. Unfortunately, I think more bad and ugly than good for UFC 209. Plus the Tuesday News Digest every single day. We've got the top story in MMA along with some analysis and then some bullet point notebook items. This includes whatever the big stories of the day. So check that out. It's a good way to keep up on MMA in an efficient way. You'll always know what the top story of the last 24 hours is with our daily news update, plus daily trivia, too. So check it out. That's MMATorch.com. Here's some more details.
We know you're a pro wrestling fan because you're listening to the PW Torch Livecast. There's a good chance you're also a fan of the UFC and all of mixed martial arts. And if so, we hope you'll check out our sister website at MMATorch.com, covering the news of MMA every single day with breaking news, exclusive analysis, an array of columns, live event coverage, flashbacks, and so much more. Check it out. That's MMATorch.com or download the free MMA Torch app in the iPhone and Android app stores. That's MMATorch.com.
All right, we're back. Let's get right back to the phone calls. Talking tonight, SmackDown, Matt in Philadelphia. You're up next. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today? Matt in Philadelphia. Did I get that right?
Oh, wait. How you doing?
Yeah. You probably had to mute on that. Okay, yeah. Go ahead. What's on your mind?
Yeah.
Oh, who is this?
Sorry about that.
I got the name wrong. I went to the wrong caller. Go ahead.
Yeah, it is Matt.
Oh, good. Okay.
I did call from Philadelphia at one point.
Okay.
When I was there in business. That's probably why. You don't forget,
let's pretend,
dude.
The last 20 seconds didn't happen. Matt in Philadelphia, welcome to the live cast.
Thanks, Wade. I appreciate you taking my call. And just to echo what you were saying before, VIP is the best $10 I spend every month. So anybody listening that hasn't tried it out, definitely need to. Great content. Appreciate everything that you do.
Where people go to sign up? Do you know where that is, Matt?
PWTorch.com/goVIP.
Yes. Awesome. Yeah. Color of the night. Perfect. All right. Awesome. What do you got for me?
Yeah. So I was just thinking of just watching SmackDown and the Randy Orton AJ Styles match. Like you said, crowd didn't seem to know kind of what to do with it. And I wanted to get your perspective on it. It seems like with SmackDown not having the overrun, the crowd kind of seems to know the beat. Like, yeah, it was an 18-minute match, but you really know the last, not until like the last 5 minutes, is it really going to pick up? I don't know if that's why the crowd seems slow to get into it, but definitely wasn't the atmosphere you'd expect from seeing the first time matchup between those guys.
No, but you know, part of it I put on Randy Orton. I mean, I know Matt McCarthy gave an anecdote a few weeks ago on this show about how beat up Randy is, you know, and all the things he just has to be careful about, and he's got a lot of wear and tear in that body, and he doesn't want to get injured. He's very. I mean, this wasn't what Matt was talking about, but you know, Randy does very much mental and physical preparation for his matches. He doesn't like his stretching routine being interrupted. He's as methodical in his preparation for his promos and his matches. You know, pacing back and forth in the hallway and memorizing all his lines and stretching and mentally getting ready for a match and going through it. And then when he gets out to the ring, everything feels so practiced. And I don't feel like there's these authentic, spontaneous moments with Randy in a match. Even with the RKO out of nowhere being a signature, that's meticulously planned when it happens too, even if it surprises us. And I think AJ, Randy has a track record in recent years. Just, you know, you think it's going to be a dream match because he's got this reputation. And everything just ends up being kind of B-minus, you know? He's just kind of the B-minus player right now with his match quality. And, I mean, it was good. It was a good match. It's hard to pick it apart. It's, you know, by definition was good, but it didn't feel like, I don't know. I can understand a crowd not being energized for Orton these days, other than reacting to his signature spots. Because it's like our last caller said, it's like a popular band playing their greatest hits.
No, it's a great point. And yeah, with Randy, it is that way. I don't know. I like the story they're telling with Randy and Bray. It doesn't feel like WrestleMania main event. As soon as Bray won the Elimination Chamber match, my friends were kind of laughing at me because I was kind of bummed out that, you know, I was hoping AJ was going to come through because I feel like he deserves that spot. And just nothing about the Wyatt family, the way that they've booked them, Bray Wyatt, and specifically over the years, all of a sudden flips a switch 1 month before WrestleMania, and I'm supposed to believe he's going to be in the main event. Just didn't feel like it was going to get me there. Just want to know also your take on Shane McMahon. Do you still think they're going to go that way with AJ? I know he was upset that he was booked in the match, but it was funny that Shane made a point to say, you know, I think AJ should be in this match. Daniel Bryan thinks Randy Orton should be in this match. Not really doing the dissension unless it's just going to drive AJ further heel to try to get heat against Shane, but I don't think that's going to work either.
I know. I thought that was interesting with Shane taking AJ's side. I wasn't quite sure what to make of that. I have had my approach to everything this WrestleMania season has been, I'm going to believe it and it's easy to say this, but I'm going to believe it when I see it. I think that I think we are due for something that has been talked about not to happen. seems like everything that people thought was going to happen has happened. And to me, the one thing that makes the most sense not to happen is Shane against AJ. Of all the things that 6 weeks ago, everyone would say, yeah, it's kind of what the word is on the street. You know, this is what's being reported.
I really hope you're right.
Yeah. So I hope that I don't know what they would do. you know, instead, you know, an interbrand match with Finn Balor, an interbrand match with Samoa Joe. Does anything jump out to you, Matt, as with the table set the way it is now, if AJ doesn't end up in a triple threat and I say the definitive finish with Randy tonight eliminates that from the conversation, I think it'd be, you know, I think it would be just wild speculation to say they're going to find a way to put AJ in there as a triple threat, which I don't think they should have anyway. What, anything come to mind?
No, I mean, all the SmackDown, anybody that's top on SmackDown is would seemingly be gone. So at that point, it would just be kind of a rush job to put something together. I mean, it's going to be anyway, but, you know, if it was a cross promotion with Raw or something, I mean, he could take the Seth spot against Triple H, but where's that going to come from out of nowhere kind of thing? So I don't even know what they could possibly do.
I know. Yeah. Well, I mean, if people have ideas,
it's too bad,
email
too. I mean, it's,
email
yeah,
us. We'll talk about it the next 2 days on the live cast.
The best worker in the company, and I heard probably, don't know if it's true or not, but after the Omega Okada match, Vince was determined to put something on the card that could, you know, reach that potential or come close to it. And I just don't think, if AJ's not in the match, it's not going to happen. And, you know, I know Cena's going away, but I always thought the best would have been don't rush the rest of the Royal Rumble match that they had. They gave him, what, about 20, 24 minutes? Give him 35, 40 minutes, AJ and Cena, without that Royal Rumble match in the middle. And I think they could have pushed it to the limit, but I know it's Cena leaving. That probably wasn't practical.
I agree. I'm not sure what jumps out at this point. Maybe we're missing something, but I'm all for, again, people emailing or posting on Twitter or calling the show if you've got ideas for AJ other than Shane. I mean, maybe we're just leaving something out that would be that could work realistically.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I appreciate it. I'll drop off so other people can get on. Thanks for everything again, and hopefully somebody will have a good idea about it for AJ for us.
Yes, absolutely. Let's come up with an idea. Maybe they'll take us up on it, even if they weren't thinking about it. Thanks for your VIP membership too, Matt, and the endorsement at the top.
Absolutely. Thanks, Wade.
You bet. All right, very cool. Our phone number here, 515-605-9345. Kenny in Gallatin, Tennessee, you are up next. What's on your mind tonight, Kenny?
Hey, Wade, how's it going? I want to talk a little bit about SmackDown tonight.
Well, that's what we're here for. You called the right show on the right day.
Absolutely, I did. I'll just tell you the truth. I just got done watching it. I was really, really disappointed with tonight's show. I mean, lackluster. I mean, you can say it all right there. It just seemed really flat, and I could notice it from the crowd as well. It just seemed like they were really not into it. And I think the structure of the show was just so different from last week's show, where it felt like it was more polished, you know, a lot more action. It just felt flat to me. It's like, you know, only three matches, and was it the women's match the longest match, or was it the main event that was the longest match of the show?
Main event went 18. I think that was longer than the women's match.
Yeah, that women's segment with the women's wrestlers probably went at least a segment too long, in my opinion. But I will agree with what you say. They did leave the door open. And my question to you, and I don't think anybody's brought it up yet, the way that Daniel Bryan set it up, does this leave the door open for Naomi to come back and possibly win the title back at WrestleMania?
Yeah, it does, actually. By having Bryan declare all eligible women, I mean, you've got to pay attention to wording with WWE. I mean, they don't say stuff usually by accident, and they want there to be they want people to look back and go, oh, now I know why they said that. Which is why, by the way, I think there's a possibility Randy Orton, Bray Wyatt is the final match at WrestleMania, not Goldberg Lesnar, because they've said the winner of the Royal Rumble will headline WrestleMania. So Vince might have had this all planned out that, you know, Lesnar or Goldberg won't be a good enough match to headline, and he doesn't want Undertaker to feel bad or fans to wonder why Undertaker didn't go on last, but that's a dangerous match to put on last. So go with two guys who, you know, can give you a B-minus match with an exhausted crowd, but pop for the greatest hits and the special effects and all of that. So I don't know. I mean, just as an aside, I'm saying that. But yeah, I mean, if Naomi's ready, if she's healthy, and it seems like it's likely she'd be able to at least partake in a multi-woman match into a few spots based on her injury. I think that door is absolutely open. That and it's in Orlando. She made a big deal of it being her hometown, and that could work out well.
Oh, I agree with what you just said about paying attention to the wordings with what they say in the WWE. And kind of going back a little bit to the whole deal with Orton and AJ Styles. First off, were you surprised that Bray Wyatt was not on the show tonight? And clearly, I just felt like the fans were just really not into it. And, you know, they talk about being the most important main event in SmackDown history, maybe on the live side of it, but I can think of tons of matches that were far better than that. One in particular involving the now soon-to-be Hall of Famer Kurt Angle and Brock Lesnar from 2003. They had a, I think it was a 60-minute match. I mean, they were far better main events than that. It's just like, yeah, I could see it from their perspective on the live side, but it's just, I mean,
I think
the match
was
okay.
Kenny, I think they're selling the idea, just the prestige of it. And I know people give them a hard time because it is a bit preposterous. I mean, with all due respect to AJ and Randy, SmackDown has had big one-on-one matches that have been bigger than this. As much, I get what they're saying. I mean, the winner headlines WrestleMania. The stipulation is there. Randy Orton is a legacy star. AJ Styles, phenomenal. You know, I mean, he owns that nickname. And it's their, you know, first big singles match. It was a big deal. I thought they laid it on so thick that it challenged viewers to disagree with them and come up with examples, as you did. And I think others would have top three, four, five matches that seem bigger who have a great recall of SmackDown over all these years. So I thought they were heavy-handed with it. I get wanting to build up a match as big. I think they overdid it. And I think it started to seem like they were telling us what to think instead of just framing a match as a big deal. They were kind of, you know, shoving it at us. And so I would have in retrospect toned that down.
Oh, I agree with you there. I like the show. Of course, your show, of course. And by the way, I got to catch your segment with Bruce. You were talking about what they would have done. And I liked what he said about the idea of, you know, Orton coming in as WWE champion. And shame we didn't get that. I have no idea what they might do with AJ Styles. I think we all have a good idea, but I just hope that it just doesn't wind up like it is, but you never know with them. But anyway, it just gives me an opportunity to promote Go VIP because, you know, as I said, I talked about that Bruce Mitchell segment where you guys were coming up with some ideas for that, and good opportunity to get the word out there that, hey, you know, it's worth it going VIP, and thanks for taking my call, Wade, and you have a good night.
Thanks, Ed. Appreciate it. Always good to hear from VIP members here on the live cast. Again, pwtorch.com/GoVIP if you were interested in a VIP membership, and that'll tell you all about it. I'm not going to do a long plug today. I did a long plug yesterday on the Raw post show, set the table for it. But I mean, 75 give or take audio shows that are VIP exclusive, including ad-free, plug-free versions of this show, and commercials taken out or not included, and then all kinds of other shows. I do the Every Single Day Wade Keller Hotline. We got the retro radio shows, post pay-per-view roundtable, so much more. Full list of all those shows, all podcast app compatible on phones and iTunes compatible, plus a really slick ad-free app-like mobile site that you can create a home screen button for on your phone. We walk you through how to do that when you sign up. We've got a whole introductory page. If you do go VIP, be sure to check out pwtorchvip.com/VIP tips when you sign up. That's pwtorchvip.com/VIP tips. You can get to that page unless you're a VIP member, but once you sign up at pwtorch.com/goVIP, then right away go to pwtorchvip.com/VIP tips. We'll walk you through our three decades of archives and all kinds of hidden gems and cool stuff that we've been putting together since launching the VIP website nearly 15 years ago and nearly 30 years of producing the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter. So check that out. All right, let's go to our final break or our second to last break, probably, depending on how long the show goes here. And we'll be back right after this with more calls.
Do you shop at Amazon.com? If so, do you know there's a way for you to support the PW Torch livecast without doing anything different other than starting your shopping at pwtorch.com/Amazon? When you go to pwtorch.com/Amazon, click on the Amazon link and you land at the Amazon homepage. But anything you buy on that shopping trip, we get a commission for. It's a way to throw a few extra quarters, maybe a couple bucks in the tip jar as a way to say thanks for what we do here at the PW Torch livecast. So next time you're about to shop at Amazon, don't type in AMAZ. Stop right there and type in PWTORCH.com/Amazon. That's PWTORCH.com/Amazon. A free, easy way to help support what we do here at the Livecast. Thank you.
All right, we're back live here at PWTorchLivecast.com. Tomorrow, Sam Roberts. Thursday, Jim Ross. Both shows airing live at 1 Eastern. Watching the background here during the commercial break, Austin Aries making his 205 Live debut against Tony Nese. And Aries looking good. He is the key right now to taking the cruiserweight division to that next level. He's got that personality, that alpha personality, that own-the-room type of approach, and that self-confidence. He just carries himself like an alpha male. And, you know, something TJ Perkins didn't have. Jack Gallagher, I love him, but you're not going to build a serious division around that act. He's a, you know, third, fourth, fifth from the top, guy. You know, you want him in your top tier because he's super talented and distinct character, but you need an Austin Aries as a lead babyface. And I'm looking forward to seeing what they do with him and Neville. And when those two have a match, that could end up being a show stealer on whatever show it's on. It's kind of nice to be able to take a break and watch 205 live watch it here. All right, let's go next to Brian from Peoria, Illinois. Thanks, Brian, for holding. What have you got for me tonight?
It's been a while since we've talked. Hope you're doing well.
I am. Thanks for calling, and I appreciate it.
Cool. First I wanted to say, just last night I attended the SmackDown House show in Bloomington, Illinois. First live show I've ever been to. It was pretty cool.
Oh, really? I didn't know you had to do a live show. That's interesting. For being a fan.
I've only been like a real serious, I guess you'd call it, internet fan for like a couple years actually. But that's another story for another day. But one of the things that I thought was notable was regarding the finish with Styles and Orton tonight.
Yeah.
They had a big match at the house show last night, and by the way, I am working on a report to submit to
great.
I think it's PWTorch@gmail.com. Yeah, I'm almost finished.
Yeah, thanks. Everybody, send results if you attend a live show to PWTorch@gmail.com. PWTorch@gmail.com. And if you're not sure what format to use, just check out the results section on our website. But just say who beat who and give us the match details and estimate the attendance, and we'll turn it into something that looks good for readers.
All right, cool.
One
thing I thought, because, I mean, it was, I assumed seeing that match last night, I assumed it would be a precursor for tonight.
Yeah.
And when I saw Styles setting up for the forearm at the end, I'm like, oh, here we go. We're going to get the forearm into the RKO. But when he faked him out, I thought that was kind of clever. It's like they were thinking of me when they were doing that, you know. I thought that was a clever little touch. I want to talk about the women tonight, as some other callers have as well. But first, did you notice when Alexa used the term title shot, and then she quickly tried to correct herself?
Yes. It's just crazy. I'm walking on eggshells around there.
Yeah, I did kind of a fake gasp there. I'm like, oh no, she's in trouble, you know.
And poor Mauro.
Yeah, but I really wanted
calling Kurt Hawkins by the wrong first name. You could tell he knew he was in the doghouse.
Oh, I didn't catch that.
Yeah, I think more now about it.
Oh.
And JBL even said that's why Tom Phillips is here, Mauro. That's why we have Tom Phillips action. So.
Wow. Well, I just tune the announcers out sometimes.
Yeah.
I catch myself napping. With the women's division, I completely understand your exception to the rule about the division as a whole. I've been saying and thinking this for months that, you know, I've commended the SmackDown women's division in particular for building more than just one or two big names up. You know, they have done a good, really good job of building the whole division up, which I think is good for kind of the overall health of it. But at the same time, I do agree with, I think you had a previous caller earlier tonight, that when, like, my opinion is when it comes to Mania time or SummerSlam time or what have you, I think that's where not having the one or two top, you know, big time stars does hurt, because it feels sometimes, despite the, you know, it, superior booking on SmackDown, the fact is you don't have, you know, the big time star power that Raw has. And I think for, you know, big time shows, you want to have one or two stars that have been established in that role to, you know, to kind of give it some more oomph, you know? And I think that's kind of the unfortunate state. That's kind of the other side of the coin here, the double-edged sword, where it feels like the SmackDown women's title, not just the title itself, but in, especially the match going into WrestleMania, it feels kind of like a minor league, kind of like a Triple-A match instead of a major league match. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, there's something to be said for, you know, ensemble, anybody can win on any given night, but there's, I mean, you'd always rather have one or two or three big stars. I mean, I think the Raw women's division feels like a bigger deal than the SmackDown women's division, but that doesn't mean being a bigger deal is a better division or is more entertaining for everybody. Some people on Twitter tonight got confused when I said SmackDown feels like a B-show tonight. They think I'm dissing on SmackDown. It's like, no, the term B-show has been used forever. It's, you know, and AJ even tweeted about it saying he turned SmackDown from the B-show into the B-show. But being a B-show doesn't mean it's the lesser show. Sometimes people are very much behind something that isn't the major league show. You're more into something just because you think it's a better show. SmackDown is usually the better show than Raw, but it's starting the gap in this WrestleMania season between the two of them in terms of which feels like the A show. I mean, the gap is significant. I mean, it's just the star power last night, all the special attractions, whereas SmackDown has the usual crew. It's they're not treating the brands equally right now. And the viewership isn't that different between the two shows anymore. So I don't think that, and they're both live, they're both on the USA Network. I think that's a mistake. But yeah, I mean, sometimes an ensemble makes for something more entertaining. But yeah, I mean, having star power is what draws money.
Right. Yeah, and when you look back to when the draft happened, you know, a lot of people were the consensus seemed to be that, you know, wow, SmackDown's getting screwed. You know, yeah, they have Becky Lynch, but at the time, like, that was kind of it. You know, she was it was nice seeing her get away from the shadow of the other three horsewomen. But at the same time, it felt like she was the top star, but just by default, like she was the de facto star. And then, you know, it didn't take that long for, you know, for them to kind of use her to, you know, to have Alexa leapfrog her. And, at least in my opinion, I think Alexa's leapfrogged her. And, you know, now you're going to see the rest of the division catching up where, you know, Becky doesn't really feel like as big of a deal anymore, which I think is unfortunate, but, you know, it's kind of the reality of the situation.
Yeah. And I mean, hopefully after WrestleMania, things get reset a little bit. And I mean, SmackDown doesn't need to be the A show, but I think WWE, it's in Vince McMahon's interest to do more deliberately, work more deliberately, at least after WrestleMania, to try to close the gap between the two shows. And there's only so far, I mean, you were at a house show Monday night. I mean, they won SmackDown house shows. They sell tickets to SmackDown without Raw stars. They have SmackDown pay-per-views. It behooves them to have SmackDown not seem like it's a distant second. And you can have AJ Styles being a star that people pay to see. And he can put on Twitter tonight, you know, I've turned SmackDown into the A show, and JBL can, you know, brag about it and all that. But at some point, you got to deliver some big moments that are outside the norm, as opposed to just being a good, maybe the better show more weeks than not than Raw. And they've got to, I think they've got to do something that feels like they're doing that for SmackDown. If not between now and Mania, that might be rough, but sometime in the months that follow, you know, shift some of the big magnitude, historically significant wow moments that are out of the ordinary, deliberately shift some of them to SmackDown Or if they do a roster switch around, be sure that, especially, you know, Cena being on SmackDown is fine, but he's part-time. You know, they've been hurt by you know, it's supposed to be even. And now, granted, you know, Raw lost Seth now and Finn. I mean, both brands have taken some hits. But post-WrestleMania, SmackDown's going to need an injection. I think everybody's hoping that Shinsuke Nakamura, now that Joe's ended up at Raw. And if that's the case, that certainly will help.
Yeah, not just the women. Yeah, you're right. The men's singles rosters, you know, could use one or two.
I've got an idea for you.
Absolutely. Brian, anything else?
Nope, that's all I got, Wade.
All right.
Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, thanks for calling. I appreciate it. Look forward to your report, by the way, on last night's show, especially it being your first show. I'm very interested in hearing what you thought of it. That's do you mind me asking how old you are? How old are you?
I'm 29, going on 30 next month.
Ooh, are you nervous?
I'd rather not say.
Okay, all right. Well, no, it's not often somebody, you know, going on 30 goes to their first wrestling show who's into it like you are. So yeah, that's very cool. But overall, before you go, what surprised you the most about the live experience that you didn't expect, besides the fact that there wasn't commentary, because that's what a lot of people are surprised by.
Well, yeah, I was mindful of that. I was a little concerned of me being engaged in the matches without the commentary. You're right, because just watching wrestling without it, you know, it's kind of like going to your first baseball game, where, you know, it's kind of a similar feeling. I don't know. I guess some of the crowd reactions were different from what I expected, because one of the biggest surprises was Dean Ambrose. He probably got the biggest pop of the night, mm-hmm. and throughout the whole match. I mean, the crowd was just really into him, and I understand part of it is probably kids, but it didn't sound like a bunch of screaming kids cheering for him. It felt like everyone was into him. And then on TV for a while, when he still had the world title and he was feuding with AJ, it seemed like the fans had kind of given up on him. So I was really surprised to hear that. And also he faced off against Baron Corbin, you know, for the IC title, and Corbin had massive heat, which I was happy with. Cause I mean, he's just like, I mean, you said it, he's such a good heel. I mean, he plays with the crowd well, and he just seems to not care at all. And I mentioned this in the report that I'm drafting right now. It was fun to boo him as a heel. You know, you talk about, you know, cheering heels when you should, you know, I found myself enjoying booing him. So that was one of my main takeaways from that.
Cool. Brian, thanks for calling. Good talking to you.
All right. Yeah. Thanks again, Wade. Have a good night.
Absolutely. All right. So Brian in Peoria, Illinois, attended his first pro wrestling show at age 29. That's awesome. If you want to give us a call for the final segment of the show, 515-605-9345. That's 515-605-9345. We'll be back right after this.
Do you love Pro Wrestling Torch? Then we've got another show just for you, Ring Rust Radio.
Ring Rust Radio breaks down the hottest topics and news from around the wrestling world, including WWE Raw, SmackDown, and pay-per-views, TNA, Lucha Underground, New Japan, and indie wrestling. Add in interviews with the biggest names in the industry like Stone Cold Steve Austin, Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, Paul Heyman, Kurt Angle, and many more. And Ring Rust Radio has something for everyone.
Check out the show on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. Interact with us on Twitter at Ring Rust Radio and email us at ringrustradio@yahoo.com.
All right, we're back live. Follow me on Twitter, by the way, at TheWakeKeller. Follow our brand at PW Torch, and follow our sister brand at MMA Torch. And also like us on Facebook, facebook.com/PW Torch. Boris from Chicago, you are up next. You better be ready. You better be ready, Boris.
Better be ready. Yeah, I'm ready, Wade.
All right, what have you got for me tonight? What's on your mind, Boris? Good to talk to you.
The same thing. The wind was knocked out of my sails too, especially when he did the phenomenal and pretty much didn't get the RKO, and pretty much I felt like they did the Daniel Bryan to him, you know, when they made Daniel Bryan wrestle Roman Reigns to knock him out the picture, where we as the fans can't question him not main event. I just felt he got to Charlie Brown, you know. So basically, you know, I feel like we was being dragged, you know, dragged into their main event instead of what the fans wanted, you know, with him pretty much finna get Shane McMahon, and John Cena pretty much took the belt off him so they can go into their honeymoon match, I guess, to retire Nikki Bella. It's like I was actually, I think I may have actually at one time, you know, how did we get here? Because it's like we heard this plan, but we seen it unfold, and this time we don't have no control, no yes movement, no type of AJ movement, nothing to stop this, you know?
If we're trying to find an opponent for AJ Styles other than Shane McMahon, do you have any ideas for us?
Undertaker pretty much shut down Braun Strowman, so I guess he's going to wait. And, you know, he's in line to face Undertaker or whoever, you know, next after WrestleMania. So, I mean, who do we want? We want him to be in the main event with Bray Wyatt, but unfortunately that's not the plan.
I mean, there's still a chance that AJ Styles has this sit-in protest next week going, I want a big WrestleMania match. He can't complain. He lost fair and square to Randy. But he can say that he's too phenomenal to be left off the card. He needs an opponent. There's not really a storyline reason right now for Shane to be his opponent. But AJ can say, I want an opponent. And Daniel Bryan can say, yeah, I put some thought into that this week, AJ. And I got you an opponent. And then cue the violence. And Shinsuke walks out into that stage. Crowd goes bonkers. Who know him? The crowd gets quickly enamored with him, who, if they haven't seen him before. And you deliver a New Japan Tokyo Dome level match with Shinsuke and AJ. They could still do that. I mean, that would be fine with me. I said I'm not against them waiting until after Mania to let Shinsuke have the spotlight, but AJ is a big star, and he's being left off a big match right now. And I'll take Shinsuke. I don't know if I'm reversing my feeling on this, but I think it would give SmackDown that standout, spectacular match that I do not think Randy and Bray is going to be as the main event of WrestleMania. Oh. So Nakamura and AJ could deliver for us. That would be, I mean, of all options, like the go-to match other than Kenny Omega showing up otherwise.
I know, right? Did he confront them on Talking Smack? Because something was on Twitter that after the show was over, something, did he confront Shane McMahon, which is...
I have been hosting this show. I had it on in the background, but I didn't see that particular part of the show on Talking Smack. He's freaking out right now. Maybe I'm a little behind. Let's see here. What do we got?
That's probably it.
Yeah, so they're showing footage here. AJ is backstage in the production truck area. And AJ is kind of having a meltdown. He's on the verge of... And he's yelling at Shane McMahon. Is that what you call opportunity right there?
Shut up!
He's yelling at Shane to shut up. Shane's telling him to calm down. We got our news developing right here. There's Road Dogg getting in between them. Shane's telling AJ to watch his mouth. And Road Dogg's trying to get him to look at him and calm down. He's calling for security. So, I mean, yeah, I mean... Our Shinsuke dreams are fading, Boris, live on the air.
That's it. It did it. Wade, they actually pulled this off without us even putting up no kicking and scratching. They got all the way to WrestleMania with no kicking and scratching. This is brilliant.
Now, Shane's being unprofessional. He's throwing stuff around expensive equipment. Splash the camera.
He needs to throw something at AJ so they can, you know, bump into him or throw some powder on
him. Daniel Bryan just said for us, I was multitasking and listening to you and Bryan at once. Bryan just said, yeah, when superstars lose, they tend to blame us, people in management. So, I think we saw the angle beginning. I mean, it's just that steers us right back to it's going to go as expected.
Thanks, Wade.
All right, thanks, Boris. I'm really there now. All right.
Wow.
We'll talk to you next time. All right, Darrell in Georgia, what do you got for me today?
How you doing tonight, Wade?
Good to talk to you.
Okay, not much here. Just got finished watching the same thing that you was just watching. Oh, my God. I guess we got Shane and AJ. My first question to you, after hearing some of the people who was in the arena that you talked to today said that it was a pop, but seeing it on TV that it wasn't really a pop coming out through the TV for Randy Orton winning that match, do you think that WWE title is going to be the first match on the show, or maybe the second, no later than the third match on the WrestleMania show?
Which match will be second or third? I just lost
the WWE title, Randy Orton versus Bray Wyatt.
No. Even the advertising is going to be the main event of Mania. I think it's more likely to be the last match than anything else right now, based on they've been saying it's the main event of WrestleMania all along. Royal Rumble winner, main event of WrestleMania. I think they think Bray and Randy's going to be. I think Vince is confident you'll have Bray and Randy hot by WrestleMania Sunday. Although I didn't think the follow-up for the big angle last week had. I mean, the fact that they treated Baron Corbin hitting Dean Ambrose with a pipe as a bigger deal than what Randy Orton did last week, burning down the compound. I don't know if they were kind of retreating from that angle or they just didn't know what to do with it. But I mean, they showed highlights of it, but it was just, you know, Randy Orton saying, "Hey, if I'm willing to burn down a compound, guess what I'll do to AJ?" Well, we know what you'll do to AJ. You'll do exactly what you do in every match. You'll methodically go through your moves and hit them. The crowd will pop for the greatest hits and you'll win or lose. And that's what he did. But I didn't seem like there was any kind of like, they didn't talk about Bray. You know, Bray's the champion of that brand. And there was almost no discussion about what happened after Bray had the meltdown. What's his state of mind? Where is he right now? I think they really underplayed that. And I think it took a lot of the steam away from the intensity and novelty of the angle last week that they were focused on AJ and Randy this week. And I think they needed to do more. Just saying, you know, we expect to hear from Bray next week and talk more about it and turn that into a bigger deal. That was a big turning point for Bray Wyatt's character and Randy's character. And it felt like I missed a week of SmackDown for real.
Yes. That's so true. That's why I felt like that when they did that angle, I just felt like it was kind of messed up because it skipped the story. Like if you're telling the story, you have chapters. And they went all the way to chapter 1 to chapter 30 and 0 to 100, and it was too fast. And I didn't really understand it. And another reason why I asked you that question, were they going to be the first couple of matches, because last night they said Goldberg was headlining. Him and Brock Lesnar match was going to headline WrestleMania. And usually when they say people headline, like Roman Reigns headline last year, so I was thinking that was the last match. So I don't know how they were going to heat this up, but
I think
that'll be the interesting thing to see.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Darrell. Thanks for calling.
Okay.
Well, you got more?
Oh, not really. I'm just waiting to see how they're going to heat this back up. So
that'll be the most interesting
thing to see.
Absolutely. Appreciate you calling. I felt Darrell sounded sad when I said thanks for calling. So I'm going to make sure you didn't have another voice back. Totally. I mean, I think, realistically, if they have a match that they think can headline, if, not headline, let's use more percentage, that can be the finale of WrestleMania, it's got to be Goldberg against Brock Lesnar. That's got to be the last match on WrestleMania, no matter what they say about you're going to headline WrestleMania if you win the Royal Rumble. That the crowd is, I mean, they're going to start filing out of the building if Undertaker's already wrestled and you're 5 hours into the damn show and Orton and Bray start coming out, people are going to leave to beat traffic unless they beat that match up. So, but if Lesnar Goldberg is going to be short, maybe by that point it's good and people won't be upset if it's a big fit. But if Goldberg Lesnar is the last match on the show, and we've seen every other match, and they come out, I think they have to do more than three moves. but maybe not. I mean, this has been a very unconventional stretch for Goldberg and how they booked him. So, I mean, it's one of the fascinating aspects of WrestleMania for me is what they do. And I mean, there's Undertaker and Roman Reigns. That could end up being the last match too. If Roman's win or lose, Vince McMahon wants Roman Reigns to share the spotlight with a mega legacy legend star like Undertaker. And if he thinks Lesnar more than AJ, more than Bray, more than Orton, more than Brock and Lesnar, of course, if he wants Reigns to be the guy who's going to be headlining the next few WrestleManias, if he's his guy, if he's his choice, it won't shock me if Roman Reigns isn't standing tall at the end, having beat Undertaker, or Undertaker beats Reigns, but they have this epic match, and Undertaker raises Randy's arm and says, you know, points at the guy and goes, this guy's for real. And that's what WrestleMania is. I could see that too. So it's going to be fascinating. I mean, Randy Bray, I don't know how they, I mean, especially seeing this, and, you know, Bray's a kind of a B-minus player too, just like Randy. It's going to be another one of those WrestleManias where the last match is flat. So if they don't mean it literally when they say that they're going to headline WrestleMania, I'd rather see a good story being told with Lesnar and Orton, whatever it is. But to me, I think Reigns Undertaker might feel like it should be the last match, but some of that is predicated on Undertaker physically being able to do a full-fledged match like that. And a good match. And I don't know if they've brought it into the mix or not. We'll see. Maybe they'll headline with Andre the Giant Battle Royal and Mojo Rawley will win it. That'd be awesome. All right. I'll end on that note. Join me tomorrow, Sam Roberts. We'll discuss all this. What match should go on last? That's a good topic for Sam, too. So send your questions in. I always enjoy my conversations with Sam Roberts when I'm on his show and when he's on the live cast. And I hope you'll join us live if you can. Otherwise, listen on demand at pwtorchlivecast.com or subscribe to us on Stitcher, iTunes, or any other popular podcast app. That does it for me. You heard about VIP membership. Here are full details on how you can sign up and what comes with that VIP membership. Thanks for our great callers. Thanks for our great listeners. And Wade Keller, throwing over to the VIP plug.
If you're a fan of the PW Torch livecast, you might want to consider a PW Torch VIP membership. When you do that, you get access to an exclusive RSS feed of not only ad-free, plug-free versions of every single PW Torch livecast, but also over 50 other VIP exclusive podcasts per month, including the Every Single Day Wade Keller Hotline. I also host three other flagship VIP exclusive podcasts: The Midweek Fix with Todd Martin, The Weekend Bruce Mitchell Audio Show, each about 2 hours in length, and the post-pay-per-view roundtables with the one-hour analysis of every WWE pay-per-view and some other ones too. Also, ad-free access to pwtorchvip.com, and that is mobile-friendly and PC and desktop-friendly, and also access to almost three decades of the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter dating back to the late 1980s, over 1,400 back issues with my pay-per-view reports on every single pay-per-view match since the late 1980s with star ratings and match descriptions, roundtable reviews from the staff on every pay-per-view, cover stories on the biggest story every single week in pro wrestling, march through them as a VIP member 1 week at a time, read our exclusive Torch Talks with pro wrestling's biggest names, hard-hitting editorials, backstage tidbits you will not hear anywhere else, and much more. It's all available. Check out details at pwtorch.com/govip. That's pwtorch.com/govip. Exclusive podcasts, exclusive new newsletters every week, ad-free access to our website, and access to 28-plus years of archives. It's all waiting for you if you go VIP. Find out more details, a checklist of all the benefits of being a VIP member, along with testimonials from current members and a sign-up form that's mobile-friendly. Takes about 90 seconds to sign up. Go check it out today, pwtorch.com/govip.
All right, so we have breaking news from Talking Smack. Apollo Crews will be in the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. Also, Austin Aries apparently took a nasty bump, clipped his kneecap on the ring apron and started favoring it, but appeared to be okay. All kinds of stuff going on while the show was on the air. But the big news, why is AJ mad at Shane? Or why is Shane mad at AJ? AJ lost, he's upset. Shane starts to have this snap temper. Hey, cool it. Road Dogg getting in between them. Big angle, there it is. If you doubted it, if you were holding out hope, like we were live here on the show, that something different would happen. I think that all got taken away. And Miz on Talking Smack just said John Cena stole his last shirt design from a beer company. Shoot comments will never end. Although Pass Blue Ribbon certainly found that out. Found that out the hard way. Also, thanks to DJ Lewis here on Twitter. He says, Danny Bryan just said, I can't wrestle or they won't let me. We'll find out in a year and a half. Wow. that is news. Daniel Bryan basically saying, my deal's up. I'm going to wrestle, even if it's not here. Man. Cool stuff, man. Now we got another tweet. Let's see what other breaking news. Okay. No more breakers. All right. Well, if you stay tuned to the end, you just got rewarded with all that breaking news. Mostly Apollo Crews and Mojo Rawley. Who do you pick to win that? Be the champ out of all. All right. That really does it for me. Thanks, everybody, once again. And until tomorrow, Sam Roberts, Wade Keller, signing off.